Fool Podcast. What's up, fool? What's up, fool? Everybody out there listening, truck drivers, massage parlors, anybody out there doing laundry or just not doing no work. What's up, fool? Podcast. Welcome to the What's Up, Fool Podcast with Rodrigo Torres, the co-host of the year, ladies and gentlemen. 2 year running already.
Yeah, man. Thank you very much for the award.
And Lisa right here on the wheels of steel, dressed right here like Queen Latifah's manager.
Hey. What?
Looking tight. Looking like the professional. My like, are we filming? Because you're looking pretty.
I'm beige. I match the wall.
You look good, man. You're the invisible girl. What's up, fool, man? We have a guest today. We have Matt Fultron, bro.
Yes. Yeah. Very happy to be here.
What's up,
been a fan
fool?
For a long time.
Thank you, man. We've been a fan of you, too, bro.
Good. I swear, when I first saw Matt, when you showed him to me at Laugh Factory or something years ago, I thought his name was Matt Voltron. I
lots
was like,
of people
that's
think
a cool last name.
Me, too.
Yeah.
Me, too. And then another time I saw another comedian, and I thought it was Matt Fultron, but it wasn't. It was Brian Swinehart. And
oh
he just
God.
Played along because he was cool. You know what I mean?
Is that when you did the Swayze thing?
It was the San Jose Improv. Yeah.
So you ran into him and you're like, yo, what's up, Matt? What's up, fool?
Yeah.
And you did his joke.
Yeah, he did your joke with him.
No, I love that joke you do. He goes, all right. But you know, that was fucked up probably. It was in San Jose.
Yeah.
He was doing another show. We ran into each other. We hung out all night. Yeah, man. What's up, fool, man? A lot What's of up? Shit going down, man.
What's going down?
Did you read Hannibal Buress' tweet about that comedy club?
American Comedy Company?
Yeah, what happened, bro?
Well, I guess he canceled all his shows and people were pissed. And then, like, Doug Stanhope hit the thread saying that they're, you know.
But you know what's tough when
pull that shit
when he was trying to cancel those shows, he was trying to find a venue right away. It's hard. You can't just find a place.
There's already shows going on.
1,200 people all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I wonder what happened, bro.
Well, his tweet was, "You absolutely can control incompetent management and disrespectful ownership." So and then he said he canceled the shows
on purpose.
Well, what,
was a move.
American
what probably,
Comedy Club.
What probably happened? Comedy company.
Well. This is what, happened,
what
to,
happened to us.
This is what happened to us. A lot of people ask, man, how can you not perform at the ACC anymore? You know, why you stopped going there? You know, you should have went to Madhouse Comedy Club. But we didn't know. We kept it quiet, you know, because we didn't have a – we were, like, going between agents
you
back
were
then.
Between.
We were with ICM, and then ICM
– no, you were with APA first.
With APA, where we were with Tim Scatty. So Tim Scatty set that up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we can win there, man. You know me. I don't like hanging around with the staff. I don't like hanging around with a manager. Because every time you hang around with a manager or the owner, they try to come back. They try to bring you back for less next time.
Yeah, because like, now you're friends, right?
Now we're friends. Yeah. Come on, we're like buddies.
That happened to me. I was middling somewhere, and the guy thought we were friends. So he's like, "You can just stay at my apartment."
Oh,
fuck you,
Tahoe.
Yeah.
I'm not friendly enough with anybody for that shit.
I know, man.
Was
the
that
Reno Underground?
No. Give me the bro deal.
Yeah,
man. And then we agreed to do the deal. The show's already sold out too for our shows. But you know, I don't work with one comedian. You know, I work with two or three. I never done a two man show. I do a two man show if it's a corporate gig,
right?
But you can't do a two man show for that. He does 10, you do the other 45. But the comedy club standard, it should be three comedians.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care what anybody says. Oh, the show runs better with two. Hell no! You need one. You need one comedian to do up there and do 10 while everybody's ordering their drinks and looking for the waitress.
The fall guy.
The guy
that takes the bullet.
Then the second guy goes up there, man. He's up there while people are ordering more drinks and food, mm-hmm. and the check falls when they're up there. Then you go up there, man, to do their 45. You're cool. So I don't know what's going on because I don't deal with, since I won Last Comic Standing, I said I just want to focus on the comedy and the jokes and everybody else. Worry about the money.
Mm-hmm.
They tell me $1,500. I expect $1,500.
Right.
If anybody makes a side deal for themselves, good for you. Just give me $1,500. I don't care if you made a side deal without me for $2,500. That's the promoter's fault. That's fucking his stupid business deal.
Right.
You know, it had nothing to do with me. Leave me out of it.
Right.
So Lisa right here, she's handling all the emails between the owner and the talent. Mm. So what happened? They wanted a two-man show all of a sudden?
Well, the gig was booked in January for June, right? The contract comes through. Everything comes through, normal, standard. I have the contract in my email. I get a message, an email, not a phone call, an email on the night you started there, a Friday night, right? You're supposed to do Friday, Saturday, Sunday, five shows. They were all sold out. I get an email on Friday. What is this? This is supposed to be a two-man show. He showed up with two openers. And I didn't tell him, well, there's a third opener coming later.
For Mondo, for a guest spot.
For a five-minute guest spot. But anyway, I said, I said, we have a three-man show. It's, you know, two openers. And it was, I think, Marcela, Mondo, and then you.
And then Rodrigo.
Well, the Rodrigo was going to do Saturday or something like that, right? So Friday, he was upset. And he said, I booked a two-man show, not a three-man show. This is a 75-minute show. That's 75 minutes.
75 minutes?
That's really short.
Impossible,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. They're not even going to be able to get their second drink.
I don't care.
Yeah.
If everybody paid $25, $15 to get in, if it's sold out,
yeah.
You can't get it. There's not enough time to get drinks with 75 minutes.
Everything's
food.
90. 90 is the bare minimum.
Standard.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he says, we run a two-man show here. I said, since when? The last three appearances he's made, it's been three comics.
That idiot said, yeah, my science had said that science
yeah, he had
and
some
graphs.
Sort of whatever. Study. So he had some sort of bullshit studies. Answer about these studies that somebody
to
did.
Cats.
some studies. So he was pissed that there was an extra comic there. And I said, look, I sent the lineup. And I did include Rodrigo as another date on Saturday or whatever.
He's always on the list.
Well,
he
sells merch and stuff. So, like, you know, we throw him in there. Even if he's not booked on the show, we try and get him in there for a small spot and selling merch. And he takes care of all that with us. And so he emails me livid, but not calling.
All caps.
That's, I mean, that's how you know with him. All caps.
That guy's
pissed.
Always out of 10, right?
I know.
You know what we're talking about, right?
He's screaming and yelling and screaming and yelling.
The
and
owner,
all his energy.
Pushing up his glasses.
Yeah. He's out of control.
I ain't no Hollister girl.
Yeah. The owner of the club.
He's jacked.
He is jacked, man. On 10 all the time. Yeah. You're right. So he's all caps pissed. And I said, look, this is the email I forwarded to you and your wife, who was managing the club at the time, too. And
you can see his nose
lineup.
To the writing.
I said, here's the lineup. I sent this to your wife, and I copied you on it. He said, I don't have time to read email.
But you just sent me one.
I have too much data. Too much data to look at.
You talk to your team or what?
You just emailed me, though.
I know. You just emailed. I don't have time to read email. You are a business owner. You better fucking read your email.
Oh, yeah,
this
dude.
Is business information here. This is the lineup.
This is what you got
to
read.
You never said anything
out of all the shit you're reading this week.
Yeah. You never said
your
anything to me
obligation.
About yet that you had a problem with the lineup. And I included Rodrigo on that lineup, too. It was four people total.
No.
So he said, well, I'll allow it.
You wrote it down and we're talking.
We're writing back and forth. Oh. He wouldn't pick up the phone.
You can hear his voice on the email.
I know.
I can smell
his breath in the email. Like he's
smells
he's
like Crown Royal and
he's so
dick.
Mad. He's so mad. So
Crown Royal.
And I said, look,
and
here's the contract. There's nothing in here that says a two-man show, 75 minutes, nothing. Well, we do two-man shows now. And I said, well, you know what? Here we go.
What is this, a Taj Mahal?
I said, how about this? Regardless of how many people we have on here, we will stick to a 75-minute show. All right? We'll cut Felipe's time down. We'll cut everybody's time down. I guess. So he allowed that, right? Saturday comes. Rodrigo shows up. Rodrigo's on that lineup that I emailed to him. He shows up. And he emails me again. Doesn't call me. Emails me again. I will pull this fucking show if this guy takes the stage.
Because we did it on the first show. Eh?
Yeah.
Well, it's still 75 minutes show, right?
He showed up in the middle of the show. Yeah. Rodrigo was there. I will pull the fucking show.
These
are all sold out. And he got so mad. And they're back there talking. I'm at home trying to see a movie with my son on the weekend.
Waiting to exhale.
I thought, you know, once the show's done, these guys make it to San Diego, I can
relax.
Got
mad, more mad. Frog showed up with a lady in a set list.
I told that fool to pull my finger, dog.
But that manager started coming back
serious?
There.
That manager showed up. What did he tell you?
He just told us that he's just doing his job and this and that. But there was the other manager that was telling, like, dude, straight up, like, to the T, and he's like this. He had a little
not
pose.
Understanding the artistic side of the show.
Nothing whatsoever.
That San Diego is supposed to be laid back, man. It's supposed to be the beach, man.
So I'm just
but they came from San Jose.
So I'm like, why do I have to deal with this? So I said, I felt like San Fine pulled the show. And that's what I think Hannibal did.
What Hannibal did.
We don't know why. I don't know his reasons why.
Sure.
But when you're pushing up against somebody like this, he decided to take the bullet and say, fine, we're going to lose two shows tonight. I don't care about the money. I care about the fans. Let's try and find a replacement show. But you can't last minute find two shows, a place for two shows. So this is what happened to us. And he... That guy, Justin, is crazy.
I'll pull the show.
And I said,
you got to scream.
I said, emails? Fine. I said, oh, this is Doug Stanhope's comments.
How he screws over the audience.
Yeah, so I'll read that too. But so Rodrigo, I said, Rodrigo, you got to not go up. We just got to pull you this weekend. He said, all right, no worries, whatever. So we pulled him from the show. And then Justin was like, I have never been so disrespected by a comedian and his wife in my life.
Yes, you have.
Let me bring weekly. Up Bush Escobar fight.
He has fought with so many. When he was in San Jose, he fought with all sorts of comics.
Fucking Pete.
But he ran the San Jose improv.
Where's that video, Chris?
He didn't own it back then.
No, he didn't own it.
He didn't own the improv. So now he's at a club that he owns. He was general manager, right? He was general manager. All right. But now he's at a club that he owns, and he thinks he's the king or something. But he flips out at the drop of a hat, and it doesn't matter if it's a headliner who's bringing in lots of money. Let's see. There's been Judah Friedlander.
Whitney coming, right?
Well, Whitney, they cut her time short because... 75-minute show, right. And their opener showed up late, so whatever. But that wasn't she. I don't think she gave up on him. Now Doug Stanhope, I'm hearing, and then Hannibal Buress. But
what did Stanhope say?
What did Stanhope? Can you open up for me? But yeah, I mean, he's
always I'll pull the show.
So he's got this ego. I mean, he's just and he wouldn't call me. If I could call you right now, and it was like you are at the club, right? You have a phone in the office. Pick up the fucking phone.
I was dumbfounded by that guy's energy when I met him. Like, he came in the green room like a hurricane, just all around yelling and screaming. And he was in a good mood that day. But I was, like, overwhelmed.
Here's Stanhope. Can't believe that guy Hollister is still in business. Don't know your story, but mine is available to any comic, even thinking about working there. I've shared it with other known headliners who've been fucked, but they never go public. We'll have to talk about it on the next podcast. So I have to listen to Doug's podcast.
That'd be great.
And this doesn't cover how he fucks the audience when possible. I'm sure that stuff is still on Yelp from a few years back.
They fight with the... Instead of facing the problem...
They fight with the customers.
Tell them what he wrote.
Well, he writes in his passive-aggressive way, like, Mary, I saw your review of so-and-so's market down the street, and you hated that place, too. What's wrong? Are you writing reviews when you're drunk? Like, this is the management getting back to a Yelp.
Right, right.
How about the beginning of the show?
And at the beginning of the show, somebody commented on Yelp that they didn't care. They were going to ignore what the slide at the beginning of the show said. And they were giving this negative review. And they said, the beginning of the show, they have a slide that says, if you have a problem with your evening, talk to management. Don't be a bitch and put a shitty Yelp review up, right? So this is what's happening. They have horrible reviews.
The whole
Yelp.
Concept of Yelp, right?
Yeah.
Customers, they can't finish their second drink. Duh, because it's 75 minutes.
That's already a ripoff, 75-minute show.
The second drink comes at the end of the show after the comic's done.
Jeez.
Like, what the fuck? And they can't even finish it because they got to leave.
You get off, and like the comedian gets off the stage, and they're finishing their drink, and the waitress is right there waiting.
So fuck that guy, and I never need to have him involved in my life, and we're never working for him again.
And then
I don't need that guy.
Try to use Hollywood like to persuade me.
Try to give us a new agent.
I have this
guy knows everything.
I have this agent that wants to speak to you.
He's
from Gersh.
He's a top agent.
Well, give me the fucking number right now.
No, give me the name.
We're going to have a meeting for that, too.
He wants to get a little beak wet or what?
I don't want anything from anybody like that. I want the agent to find him naturally. I'm not going to have, you know. So we switched agencies, and he's like, holy shit, that's a great agent. And so how'd you get him? And I didn't even respond back to him. He wanted to book him again. Like, you are insane. We're not working with you. And we never responded back to him again. And then he started doing Humphreys by the Bay, and we're never looking back.
How do you treat you, man?
You know me, dog. They could step on me, kick me. I'm still going to say, how you doing, man? He would just, it was just crazy. I've never seen anybody act like that, dude. Honestly, dude, of all the clubs I've ever been to.
Did you see him flip out at all?
Oh, he's just all like fucking crazy and fucking all jittery and shit.
Can you
like,
imagine that guy trying to sleep?
Oh, dude, he probably doesn't sleep, dude.
He probably sleeps and he moves around like Joe Cocker, bro.
But he would never come up to you and say any of this.
Oh, no way.
He would never. He's too scared.
I hit him with my boot.
He's too scared of you, a type like you.
That's
you
why know? He doesn't like three-man shows. They can kick his ass better.
Anyway, that's all I have to say.
Two-man show. The only person that would do a two-man show is probably like a big headliner like Tim Allen or somebody.
Yeah, dude, fucking...
Don Rickles.
Don Rickles.
Yeah, Phyllis Diller. R.I.P.
Anyway.
Yeah, man. I even provided weed for them.
Cheap really? Ass weed.
Cheap ass weed.
Well, for a while he had like a
Chiba Chews and
there
stuff.
Was no room, there was no the room for merch in that room, huh?
I don't know. I opened up a Chiba Chew and I had a bite taken out of it.
Oh my God.
You still ate it though,
right?
You don't need, dog.
There's bad seats in that place.
Dude, there's that
behind the poles.
I've been
they have
in there.
Television.
Little columns all in front of you and shit.
I've been in there too, where the back of the room is just like a bar show where people are milling about.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
Walking
top.
Yes.
Yeah. The restroom's right
man,
there.
People are standing. That's
standing
that.
Room only back there. That sucks.
It's kind of a long room for how short the stage is. I had no idea I was going to be burning a bridge on this podcast, but
well,
fuck it.
You did not participate, but we're happy to burn that bridge.
You guys remember the first time you guys were there and he was saying how his club's going to change the game and everybody in Hollywood knows and everybody's gonna come here and we're gonna do it, you're gonna be part of the team too and this and that, and then dude, that fool just flips out because in San Jose fools like Pete Munoz, Butch Escobar and all those dudes, he used to pull leverage on him because he had him he's like, bro, what's his problem, bro? But then he didn't start doing it to like headliners to over here in San Diego till later, but then you know they got a taste of his
why
own
why would you shoot yourself in the foot and get rid of six sold out shows from multiple headliners, you know? Doug Stanhope's selling out. Hannibal's selling out. He was selling out. He's filling them with free ticket types. Now it's turning into a B club. He's making his club a B club.
Bucked up.
It's a good location, too, huh?
Great location.
Right there in the gas line.
I love that club.
The hotel was good, huh? The hotel was
good. Oh, the hotel is great, man. I can't wait to go back.
Did you stay across?
I got a great deal over there.
We'll change your name.
Did you stay across the street or on the side? You threw it across the street, right?
Up the street.
No, we always booked them because we had to pay for their room. So we always booked them in that little, the little historic hotel, like Roosevelt, something like that.
Something like that. Has that like cool roof?
Yeah.
I want the show to be 65 minutes.
Yeah, man, that's crazy, dude.
35 minute show.
75 minutes.
1 minute guest spot.
75 minutes, and how many times did Gabriel perform there? I don't think he does 75 minutes himself.
Hell no.
Perform there. But he performs there?
Yeah, a long time ago.
I don't know.
Maybe in the beginning.
I never saw him there.
Justin?
No, is it Gabriel?
No, Gabriel.
Oh, Gabriel. Okay. Gabriel.
Unless he snuck in a photo right there, dog.
I don't know, man.
They were all taking the photos on stage.
Well, then he got pissed at me as with the merchandise because he's all, you're clogging up my entryway, man, with the merchandise. And that's when he went to the stage. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. No, selling merch there is definitely a fire hazard. No doubt about it.
It's horrible.
What do you want me to do, bro? I'll do it.
The place is not thought out like from anybody's point of view. It's not thought out from the wait staff point of view. It's not thought out from the customer's point of view. It's not thought out from the talent's point of view. You have to come right from the green room right on stage. Like, you walk out of
there's nothing.
It's
horrible. And the logo, it looks like they got it from an old cheap tattoo book.
It looks slightly white power.
Yeah, it does.
In my opinion.
Kind of rebel, sort of flag. Isn't there
slightly
flag on there?
Yeah, Nazi.
No, it's not. Is that they got
it's
from
American,
an old tattoo,
but
which one you want, man? The old pirate or the dancing?
Sailor Jerry
yeah,
stuff
it's
right
the
there.
Sailor Jerry.
What's up, fool? March 3rd.
It's just terrible.
What a diva, though.
Talk shit about everything.
March 3rd.
March 3rd. From the, there's your dates,
What's up, everybody? March 3rd. That's March 3rd. I'm coming to Honolulu, Hawaii at the Blaisdell Center with Paul Rodriguez.
Hey, I'll be there with Felipe Esparza.
What's up, fool? March 9th through the 11th. Phoenix. At Stand Up Live, finally, bro.
That's gonna sell out.
Finally, bro.
It's been a while.
You guys,
we've never been there, so it's been a 10 p.m. improv.
Yeah,
you guys podcasted there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, it was good.
Oh,
it
that was the first time, huh?
We almost sold out. We had about three.
People
eight,
wouldn't even know the podcast was doing. They were dressed. That was the most dressed people, the most dressed up people I ever seen for a podcast.
Oh hell yeah, dude!
Like there was nobody. There were sweats.
Yeah.
March 23rd and 24th, Los Angeles at the Novo Downtown LA, man.
Nice. Dude,
four shows. Check it out, man. It's going to be a good show, man. We got Mexicali east side of the river opening up.
We and have mezcal.
Mezcali. And Rodrigo Torres and Jay Lamont.
The human beatbox.
Human beatbox. What's March up, 30.
Yeah, east of the river. Is
Austin, Texas at the Paramount Theater, March 31st. Atlanta, Georgia at the Variety Playhouse. So far, we sold 91 tickets, bro.
For Atlanta.
Damn, dog.
What's up with Atlanta? We're going to have to cancel that show if we don't get there. Yeah, man. We're going to have to
cancel that show, man. So people, man, better tell somebody.
Go tell your friends. Tell your
friends who live an hour away.
We don't want to turn this into a controversy.
Yes, man. That show might be a 75-minute show.
It might end up happening in the parking lot.
Hell yeah, man. Lots more days. Check out FelipeWorld.com/tour. All right. You have any dates coming up?
Matt, check out fullcharge.com. I'm going to be at Calgary, Alberta at the Comedy Cave March 13th through March, 19th. And I'm going to be on Tom Segura's Australia tour.
Oh, cool.
At the end of April.
Yeah, man. You been to Australia before?
Never.
You were Diego?
Never, dude.
Have you?
Never.
So I'm going to be the guy to go. I'll tell you what it's like.
The only down under I know is Mexico. Shout outs from Instagram to, Hilda, a.k.a. Lady-Runalot. She has listened to every episode of the show multiple times. At El Loro 2 from Chicago, who started listening after the Chicago show in January and is now addicted. Addicted. He likes addicted. Junior Jose, Random Hero Dad, Frankie A. Mad from San Gabriel Valley, now living in Mississippi, and he's a vegan. So he's stuck out there. Been listening since the beginning, Holmes. He's training to be a trucker and can't wait to call in and honk for us. He's training to be a trucker, bro. Bro, you want to be a trucker, bro? Maybe you'll check your trailer park and then leave her for half of the year.
No, he's getting his trucker's license.
Oh, trucker.
Stay away from those lot lizards, dude.
Rigo, 5113. Aftermath, 000. Aztec War God. G-Man, 1606. Carlos Colmenares, coming to the Rochester, Washington show at Lucky Eagle. Casey Benny. Rick Dog 22, who said he only listens to two shows. Howard Stern and What's So Fool.
He knows. Nice.
He likes variety. Also check out Matt Fulchon's Full Charge podcast.
The Full Charge Power Hour.
How long have you had that?
Oh, Jesus, like almost 5 years. I really think it's going to take off this year.
Damn, 5 years?
Yeah, 5 years, man.
So you've been doing it every week for 5 years?
I took this week off because I was like, fuck it, man. I've been traveling a lot. Fuck them.
So you were just doing it solo before All Things Comedy came along?
Yeah, I just put it out myself. Mm-hmm. Totally. And then I joined ATC.
How many episodes do you have?
I have 200, 275.
More than us. We have 180.
187.
13 more, but we have 200.
Yep.
What is that going to be?
I don't know.
We should do them all today. Just knock them out.
I don't understand how some people could do like a bunch of them in one day, like Burke Breischer and what's his name? Moshe Kasher and Neil Brennan would do like five, bro.
I've done three. That's it. Rogan does.
Isn't it exhausting, dude?
I hate it. It's too long.
Not 3 hours. Not 3 hours. I'm talking about three shows.
Yeah.
Like stop and then do another one with somebody
shit's
else.
Exhausting, yeah. Dog.
Did he put them all up at the same time, though?
I don't think so. No. I wouldn't do that if I was him. So.
No, man. You got to do seven and wait.
Exactly.
Wait it out.
Sit on your ass. It's the American way.
What's up, fool? This podcast is only 75 minutes, too. That's what you should have told that guy when he said, I want the show to be 75 minutes. What are we doing, a fucking podcast, bitch, or what?
Yeah.
I thought he was a star.
Yeah, man. Everybody was asking, man, how come we never went back? So we didn't want to talk about it. We're not burning no bridges here, man.
I don't know. We're not burning it. We're burning a bridge that already he burned already.
Yeah, we're just stating facts.
He burned
just stating facts. There is not a lie. I will prove it. I have all the emails. So this is not a lie. I'm not making anything up.
All we've said are facts. We just haven't really given any opinions or anything.
Well, I gave a few.
Well, yeah, we're going to edit that out.
If you guys want to know the second part of this, go listen to Doug Stanhope's and let him know what happened.
Yeah.
Let him know what happened. Let him know what minute it is so we could get to it.
So I'll have to get through
and
ads.
He's one of those sleaze bags too that gives like a comedian stage time. If you DJ, then he'll give you 5 minutes and he'll give you chicken wings.
If you mop.
Yeah, totally.
You mop.
Chintzy ass fool.
But then he'll like he'll try to treat you like if you're treating me like this in a comedy club, I'm not gonna let you treat me like that outside in a different place. I'm gonna knock your ass out.
Oh yeah.
Like but he'll do that like, hey fucking Pete, and I he'll like, dude, you know you're not in a comedy club. You shouldn't be talking to people like that outside.
You're out of your jurisdiction, homie.
But he knows, you know, if you get punched, he'll ban you.
Right. Yeah, it carries over. Into
you're partying part. Across the street and he's all, hey, man, you got to change the fucking marquee, bro. Fuck, dude. All right. I'll be back.
Do more of him, bro.
I don't even know how that fool talks.
Just like that, bro.
But he was all just all you know, charged up like and whiny. That. And I'm going to tell you, Felipe, you're a fucking star, man. And fucking when I'm in over there in San Diego, we're going to fucking do it right. Not like we do it over here at this club that I'm managing right now.
He was all punchy guys.
He was mad at Lisa, too, because he had set up an Edwin and Felipe gig.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Did that where man. I began?
It all began. I forgot about
Lisa
that.
Lisa says, oh.
A year before.
Well, let's get out some more gasoline. We got still half a bridge
no,
to burn.
No, before. Okay, before. And I'm sorry I'm talking so much.
I love it.
Okay,
man.
It's all good. Someone's got we're tired.
Anyway. Yeah.
Tell them.
I know all the people are going to complain. You know, the podcast was good.
Fuck them. They complain no matter talking. What.
What is this? Yeah. What's up, oh. Fool Chilada?
Everybody says that. So yeah, years ago, I think right after you won Last Comic or around that time. When you were on it, Justin reached out to Edwin because Edwin and Felipe had done a couple shows up in San Jose a couple times, and they had sold out.
It was
that Wednesday show.
It was Pack It Out or it was not. It was Pack It Out and get paid $500 a week.
Yeah, it was like a bonus sort of situation. So anyway, this was before he started doing headlining gigs and stuff, but they were coming in as he was entering the top five on Last Comic. So he wanted to book them, him and Edwin, up in the San Jose Improv. And he didn't send us an offer or his agent. He sent it to Edwin, who doesn't have an agent. And he sent it to Edwin, and Edwin's like, sure. And then he told Felipe, and I was like, wait a minute, what do you mean you're doing a show? You're not doing that show. Because, you know, we have like a headlining deal that we're working out through your agency, and Justin doesn't know any of that because he doesn't book it. You don't truly book the San Jose Improv. It's booked at the corporate office
right.
for headliners. So I already knew there was something coming in the pipeline, and I said, hey, I had to call. I emailed all of them, and I said, Felipe has not agreed to this show. This was Edwin agreeing on his behalf. Felipe's not doing this show because, you know, his agent's working on a headliner spot. Oh, so it's all about money. I understand.
Do it, Rodrigo.
It's been about money, man. Fuck that, man. This is a fucking friendship, man. Loyalty, man.
Yeah, he said, oh, so it's all
you
want
to go to the
money.
Fucking top, Felipe, or what?
The slam dunk on that impression is the manic laugh afterwards. There you go. There you go.
This guy's fucking crazy, bro.
But yeah, so what an asshole, right? Like, yes, it's all about money, but...
Why do you go to work, Doug?
How about it's all about money if he goes up there and sells out that room and you're only paying him $500? Yeah, then it's about your money.
We're going to split that, by the way.
Yeah.
No, I mean, we worked for peanuts for a long time so that we really can cash in while we're hot. And that was your... There you go.
And now he sells out the San Jose Improv.
Exactly.
And I'm not sad about anything that I decided to do. But I was worried at first because the first person I pissed off along the way, you know?
Yeah.
But I realized he was unstable. So he gets pissed off at everything. So whatever. That's my story.
Can't believe that even fucking you have to deal with bullshit like that,
isn't
huh?
Isn't that crazy? Anyway.
There was a shootout outside the San Jose Improv. Remember?
Yeah.
When?
Days ago, probably.
Eddie Griffin was headlining.
9 years ago.
So they were hoping that Eddie Griffin would go long because they didn't want his urban audience to come out and see the police.
Oh, yeah.
Shit would have turned into a Fruitvale station. Right? But someone was killed.
Welcome to the day, bro.
But the opener for Eddie Griffin was outside, you know, smoking a joint, and he saw the shit go down. Chris Thorin. Remember he told the story? And he said he didn't I don't know if he recorded or not, but the same guy we're talking about told the police that he saw the whole thing, he recorded it.
Uh-huh.
So now they're like looking for him to give him the phone.
Right.
And then he tells them what?
So, hey, bro, fucking dude, I didn't say all that, bro. I'm going to give you my phone, bro. No, fuck that. I just told him. I was like, yeah, I told you, but not for you to go tell the cops as a fucking third party.
Give him the phone.
Yeah, dude. And I think homeboy just called him something. He's like, oh, man, I'm not that and shit. Yeah. He called him out on his, you know, preferences or what we allegedly believe he is.
So did the audience face the wrath of
The audience came out after, like, they pretty much swept up the mess.
That's good.
But it would have been ugly, man. Oh, we're talking 500 people coming out. looking for the cars, asking more questions, annoying people.
Probably getting stopped on the way.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Cops, oh, yeah.
You know, like you can't cross here, and then there's pushback, you know.
That's my cousin, Jose.
Shit, I'm about to call my minister.
What's up, fool? Matt Fultron right here, man.
Yeah, man. Maryland's finest.
I got to tell you this real quick, though. Yes. This reminds me of the story.
Same guy, right?
I was in San Francisco, like in North Beach, and these guys were filming a rap video or whatever, and the cops pulled them over, and they go, all right, how many people got warrants? And they all just went, rose their hands.
Oh, fuck.
Honest.
Yeah, they went right
for
it.
Find it.
But
anyway.
it only helps their rap video if they're getting handcuffed and shit.
It's good for the rap.
Yeah. Also, I did a tour with Daniel Tosh one time, and we had this big bus, and we looked outside one time, and there was these local rappers fucking filming a video outside, acting like it was their tour bus. You got to give it to him, man. You got to give it to him.
Bro, Bow Wow style. That's
how you do it, bro. Bro, style.
Hijacked the video, you know?
Yeah, dude.
My cousin, bro, from Mexico. That fool was staying at our house, bro, like fucking, like Cap G style, you know, like helping out an immigrant. So he was living in our house, and he had like two jobs. And one time, like, he bought a camera, and right outside of our house, there was this badass Trans Am from the 70s. And my cousin took a photo holding the keys right next to it, bro.
But they weren't the keys to that car.
Fuck no, man. They were house keys.
House keys.
Like a bunch of them, bro. He fucking sent them to them, bro. And everybody over there believes it, bro.
In Mexico.
That's why you get so many immigrants coming from Mexico and coming from everywhere because they lie about their status.
Right.
Like they tell you, I'm dating Pamela Anderson, but it's a real fat lady.
You used to do that joke.
Yeah,
I like
forgot
that
about
joke.
That. What's up, Fool? So you started in Maryland, Bethesda, or what?
No, I started when I got out to LA, like in 98. I don't know.
98?
1998.
Because that's when I think I used to see you around because I started like with 96.
No kidding, man. Yeah, so it was weird back then. Like, stand up was really dead, you know? And
there was really nothing happening in 98, huh?
Yeah, no. And
no,
like,
no premium blend.
And I don't know what you were thinking, but I was thinking stand up was kind of a dead thing, like from the 80s. And I was kind of trying it just as a fluke, but I got hooked real quick, you know? What show were you talking about that we'd see each other?
I did like open mic at Natural Fudge.
Where was that?
That was on Fountain Avenue.
Okay, yeah.
By the Scientology.
By the Scientology building. Right. And then I would go to a place called Waldo's Comedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With this big white, she wasn't big, she had big blonde hair.
Uh-huh.
And her boyfriend was a DJ. Then I would go to a place in the valley that was called the Buzz Cafe.
Yeah, I think I did
that.
That
show was at midnight.
Uh-huh, yeah.
It was started at 12.
Right. I remember doing, you ever do Coconut Teaser?
Yeah,
and the Crooked Bar in the basement. That was my favorite. Like, because there was
twice.
too many coffee house open mics.
Yeah, a
lot.
Those
aren't as much fun as like a bar show.
Because everybody was just sitting there, you know, having coffee. And but when you go to like a regular bar, like the rock and roll bars.
Yeah, the worst is when they host it in a restaurant. Where people don't know there's going to be a comedy show.
Dante.
And it's just like the bum rush comedy show while people are trying to have a nice dinner and shit. That was the worst. Because people would just be staring you down like, I fucking
hate you. You ever work with a guy named Andy Kern?
I don't think I remember
okay,
him.
Good, all right.
Thank God.
Yeah. What was his deal?
No, I thought you worked with him.
I don't think so.
He booked shows at like VFW.
He still booked shows.
Coast to coast.
Uh-huh. He booked shows. Like, I mean, he, you know, he helped me pay bills. But
yeah,
$1,700 for
but
a whole week.
He's also on the show.
Yeah,
ah,
Elks Lodge. This guy's crazy, man. Like one time he fell sick, and he sent his brother, and his brother did the act.
You're kidding me?
No,
man.
Bro, he did it better.
Son of Kern,
he did do it better.
Yeah, franchise man. Right here, huh?
Yeah, man, Colonel.
He was just waiting for that moment. Dude, he's been practicing in his room all
and
these
then
years.
He goes, yeah, man. My brother never gets me out, man. He keeps me locked up in the room.
Because he used to be an addict or
he
something,
used to be
right?
A crackhead.
Yeah. So the guy knows he kind of been protecting him.
Dude, he
him.
Did it exactly the same.
That's so funny. It's like dude, you can write your own shit. And maybe you can get a spot on the show.
He had better timing.
He had better timing, man.
That's so funny.
That's good.
Yeah, those were weird times, man. But I enjoyed them. You know, that was
just
such a weird time in comedy. It was so dead.
So long.
Everyone was doing crazy shit. You
crazy
know?
Crazy shows, man.
Yeah.
So you did the Ballet Room.
I started doing the belly room, like the bringer. I started doing bringer shows in the late 90s. And I thought I was doing real shows. I was that naive. but I did Belinda Forrester's show in the belly room. And I'm like, yeah, I'm playing the Comedy Store. You know, I thought I was like really, really doing it. I didn't get past at the store until 2005. you know. And
I got past at 9 in 2000. I think it was 99.
Uh huh.
I did it like 7 weeks in a row.
And so, did you started working with Gabriel, right?
Yeah. Me and Gabriel got passed around the same month.
Okay.
Gabriel, believe it or not, Gabriel, I like saying it because Gabriel used to wear the original white Comedy Store t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
The white one. We both had the white one.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Didn't I hear a story about how you guys showed up and, like, they didn't know you were passed or something? Is there some story like that?
They didn't know we were. I didn't know. When I was working the door, me and Gabriel didn't know who was passed. So we didn't let nobody in. So we got shoved a lot. People put their
some old vets coming
their
in.
Their hands, a lot of hands were on my shoulders back then.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I would not know who you are. I thought that, and I told Gabriel, he goes, you know, we keep stopping everybody. He goes, well, you know, maybe this is the way Mitzi wants us to get to know everyone.
Start out with a fight.
Yeah, start out with an argument.
And then become friends. That is kind of how it works there, to be honest with you.
I started off like, only the, and you know who's cool. You know, like, they never gave me no keys. Like, I never got to drive no cars.
Right.
I can't drive stick shift. I got on a ladder one time, and that was the last time. And then after, like, I play it off, and then Chewy did it.
Yeah.
Remember Chewy, the Mexican
dude? Yeah, absolutely.
With the overalls and the guitar? Mm-hmm. That was a long time ago, man. They used to be did you ever do the show with the guy that used to wear tight shirts? You know him? White dude with blonde hair. Kind of
Stevie D?
It's not Stevie D.
Who?
Oh, man.
Roger Rod.
He had a comedy contest, too. And his was all
Bringer. Orange County one?
No, in L.A. In the Valley.
Oh,
Bob Perkow?
T.K. Madison.
T.K. Mitt, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I was thinking in my head, because I know that me and Gabriel did a show sometimes, and he walked in with a tight shirt.
Yeah,
all douchey.
And
know,
he would stomp his foot for the punchline, like, come on, people. Come on, people.
He was hilarious, though. He said, I used to call him tight knit.
Yeah. That's some of the Bringer shows I used to do.
Yeah, man. I remember I ran into him like 5 years ago. He goes, how you been? He goes, I've been good, man. You still fucking with the Bringers? Yeah, man. Where's my Bringers? I call him and remind him, man. Don't forget to bring your 10 people.
Yeah, yeah. No, he was serious about that.
He will call and remind you where you got those 8-10 people. Give me their names again. What's their phone numbers?
Exactly.
I'll remind them for you.
Oh, my
and then
God,
he'd tape it.
Hustle, bro.
Then he'd tape the set and sell you the tape.
Yeah.
And if you didn't bring enough people, you could pay the difference.
Yeah.
Or you could just go home.
Sounds like flappers.
Went home. This guy also.
I fucking went home.
I know. Yeah. It was like the pre-flappers.
Called flaps.
He also called me up one time. He's like, hey, come over. I got like a business opportunity for you. We'll have some pizza, some beer.
Well, the fool's wearing a robe, huh?
And we had like the tombstone pizzas. Like he didn't even order pizza.
Fucking crust sucks.
And,
he showed me this video of how we're all going to work together at this company. And the fucking diagram actually had a pyramid on it. He tried to get me into a pyramid scheme that was not hiding it at all.
Oh,
and I was like, I think I'm gonna have to think about it, dude. And I'm not gonna do it after I think about it. Wow. That was fucking weird.
He had that one friend.
I used to fucking people, man. They never end.
It's like, you don't make enough money off me, dude. Come on.
Spit on it at least. Damn.
Damn, bro.
It's brutal, man. Like, there's so many things that take advantage of people that are just starting out. Not just with comedy, like all the acting classes and shit.
Oh, yeah.
Scientology has, like, acting classes. They try to suck you in with the religion. And then that's a whole nother money-making scheme. Like, there's just everywhere.
So you're a Scientologist?
Huh?
You're a Scientologist?
No.
Oh.
Are you guys?
Because you said you made... It sounds like you made it all the way to the acting classes.
No, dude, I never went there.
Oh, but I bet you
they have acting classes, and then they start talking about Ron Hubbard, and then all of a sudden you have to become a Scientologist. And they film their own commercials now, so they can immediately put you on TV.
Yeah, you can get some work.
Lisa said that.
No, I'm not. I'm not a Scientologist.
Lisa said it's harder to leave the room too once you're in there.
Oh, that's
what I mean.
To see the movie, they locked the door. They've locked the doors before.
Really? So how could you get out?
You should go there.
You have to really have an argument with them to get out.
You should go there as undercover, bro.
I'll go there undercover.
And let us know, bro.
Bring a buddy, man.
Yeah, bring a buddy.
I'll just like eat like a bunch I'll eat a bunch of nasty ass food, have mad gas, and just have to take mad shits, dog.
And then they'll tell you, you need defense. Them the most.
I gotta go to the bathroom, dog.
You planned it all out.
I'm already thinking about how I can get out, dog. If I can sneak in, I can get out.
You're already terrified.
Yeah.
I'm down, just shit my pants.
Yeah, man, record it, bro. How did you get out of this?
Fucking shit, man.
Yeah, that could be a segment.
We gotta get
for all things comedy. Yeah, but that, like how to get out of a Scientology
room. That must
room.
Be like, what would be harder, to get out of the Scientology meeting
the movie.
Or get out of a fucking timeshare? Meaning.
Oh, that's a good comment.
Scientology. Ooh. Scientology.
It's harder?
It's close. I
think
Scientology
is harder?
I think so. I don't think the timeshare thing will actually lock the doors. You know?
That's true.
That's true.
That's true.
But it is close.
But timeshare people will bug you at the casino outside the condo.
That's true, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they will. Interesting.
I get calls every day about my timeshare.
You that have
I
one? Already,
no, they say I have one. I think I just have to like buy in and then I could sell it or something.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, dude.
That's a crazy.
Fuck no.
Matt, do you remember?
My apartment's a timeshare. Airbnb the fucker.
That's crazy about the videos. Do you remember comedians selling a comedy list of all the gigs?
Yes. Yes. And there was even a comedy magazine. No, I bought that list.
The magazine was badass though. The USA Comedy.
Yeah.
That was unheard of. Nobody has that anymore. You never heard of the magazine, huh?
No, I've seen
it. It was called Comedy USA.
It
had
cool.
All the numbers for NACA, APCA, USO tours, comedy clubs, and outdated managers.
Yeah, exactly. No, I got that list one time and sent VHS tapes out. Only got like one fucking gig.
But how
and
about
one
the,
festival.
How about the list, though? The comedy list they were
selling? Yeah, that's what I had. I bought that list.
The Militant still sells that, I think. Or he was selling...
I think Dante was selling one too, and Shane.
Dante was selling one too. Yeah,
that's the one you bought, right?
I bought one in like '99, so I don't know who I bought it from. But I just know I sent tapes out. I spent like all this.
What was the price on that list?
It was only like $35-$40 or something. Oh, but it's expensive for a piece of paper. But whatever.
The comedy writing book that I bought, you know, I didn't buy it. I stole it from the library. but that one. On the back of the book, it had like comedy clubs and the bookers to call. I mm-hmm. never called them though, but on the back of it, it had it. I thought that was cool.
Calling scary.
It is, man.
Yeah.
I think I've sent like two packages, and the first one was for Abrams in New York.
Oh damn!
I got a tape, bro, and a bio. That was actually my most professional bio ever. I sent it, and they sent it back. No thanks. I thought that was cool though.
That is kind of cool. Yuck Yucks did that for me up in Canada. They were like, hey, you're not good enough yet, eh? But keep in touch, eh? I threw in the A's just to make it more authentic.
Isn't Yuck Yuck
I think
more
this
like,
is your
But Yuck Yuck is more like towards like Canadian comedians, right?
They
like,
were a chain up there. They're like a funny bone. They're extinct now, but
they're still extinct?
I think so.
You're saying that because I know when I talked, I don't know if it's Rick Bronson, when I spoke to him, he said he's trying to buy out most of them.
Oh, yeah, well.
Because he bought one, the one in Edmonton, that used to be a Yuck Yuck.
Okay, well, I asked Lachlan Patterson. He said they were done, but who knows? Who knows? I didn't really check into it.
A lot of the new comedy clubs are old Yuck Yucks.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it is.
But they used to put you on a tour.
Oh, damn.
Like
of Canada?
Even though I was never part of the 80s, I like missed the 80s.
Yeah.
I missed like doing some bullshit like that, even though I did triple runs. You ever do those?
No, man. Tell our audience about our match. We always talk about them, but we don't really know somebody who did more than two.
So yeah, I just did one.
I've done quite a few, maybe like six.
There are between 2 hours, right?
No.
One was like seven for us.
No, the weird way the guy schedules them is you don't go in a line and stop every 2 hours. You go back and forth across the state of Washington, across Oregon, across Idaho, and he could easily make it an easy tour.
Yeah.
But you're driving 6 hours a day.
Yeah, man.
And you're crisscrossing where you just were. It's a disaster. And you're always like trying to find a way to make a profit off of it, and it just never works, you know?
That's another
you
got to
sell that merch, and the gas money is just...
Where did you start your tour?
I'm trying to think.
Portland? Because you did Portland.
Medford, Oregon was the first place.
So you drove there from L.A.?
Yeah, dude. I drove there with Claude Stewart. I don't know if you know him.
I know Claude Stewart.
He drove us all the way up to Oregon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He drove us all the way up to Oregon.
El Paso. Yeah.
And
El Paso,
we did all this bullshit.
So you drove to Medford for, that's about 8 hours, probably?
I think maybe, yeah, something like that. And then you go from there. And I just remember driving 6 hours a day.
From there to Minnesota, huh?
Minnesota, we didn't make it that far.
No,
maybe
like
Idaho.
Yeah, Walla Walla, Washington, too, right?
And it's funny, too, because it was like 2005. So we had to get on the computer every day and print out directions at the hotel.
Oh, you know?
I remember having to print all your directions.
Lisa used to give me all the directions at that.
Yeah, I was his triptychs. I made
Wow. Damn, I forgot about that shit, dude.
It's not like you just get in the car now and just punch it into your space computer.
So Medford and then another gig, Walla Walla.
I can't remember exactly where
but
we went.
But all in 1 week?
Yeah, 1 week. And we did 2 weeks in a row. And it's just, you know, you're going to bumfuck places. That's why I can't really tell you where I was. It's just like, it just, you can't remember where you were.
And they give you by, they pay you by check at the end of the week, huh?
They pay you weird amounts. It's uneven amounts to keep you on the tour. So they'll pay you a little bit
at the spot.
At the spot, and then they pay you most of your money at the end of the tour. Because they want to make sure you'll fucking get to the gig.
Oh, yeah.
But then they don't want to give you enough that you're like, you know what, fuck this, and you leave. You know, which you would easily do many times. You know, it was kind of fun because like you can't really get fired because you're on to the next.
Yeah.
The last one, I had one booked a couple years ago, and the guy Dave Tribble, they're named after a guy named Dave Tribble who books them. He's like, hey, you're doing this gig in Montana. He's like, make sure you do like your road stuff there and not your like Hollywood shit. And I'm like, look. I'll do your shitty fucking gig, but there's no way you're going to tell me what to do there, you crazy fuck. Like, I don't have the different set list anyway, you know what I mean?
This is my road
I do what I do, and that's it, you know? But I just canceled it. I'm like, fuck you, man, you know?
What's your Hollywood set?
He's just
10 mile zone set?
Quite honestly, there is a lot of stuff that will work in, like, yeah. No, not anymore. That's not like anymore. Old shit.
Yeah.
Now everybody's comedy savvy, yeah. And you got to do like killer shit. Yeah. You can't be coming with like the artistic shit.
Oh, yeah.
Experimental shit. That's kind of over in a way.
Don't talk about Starbucks over here. There's none.
But that's a total description of those Tribble runs, dude. They're just kind of fun.
No food, huh? Mm-hmm. Bad food there?
You know, you got your bar food. You got your McDonald's. Bullshit. You're trying your best, and
the
man.
He paid for the hotel. You got to pay for it.
You pay for the hotel. No, you don't pay for the hotel. Yeah. He paid for
it. It's always a bad place, huh? CD place?
It's not great. We're paper talking about two walls. To 2.5-star hotel.
What's the weed situation like?
I didn't smoke much weed back then, but it's one of those places where if you announce it on stage, you most certainly will get something handed to you at the end.
But it's definitely red hair and shit.
Yeah.
You think there's still a lot of old comics still doing it, man? Like, they've been doing it forever?
I don't know.
A lot of young comics, right?
I think it's more of a young man's game out there, you know?
That's tough, huh?
Because the money hasn't gone up. So for like an old guy to do it.
Did you say it was like 800 for the whole week or less?
Yeah.
200 a show?
I think 1,000 a headline. And they ain't looking, it was like, and they're looking for me. It's funny because they're looking for a guy that'll take 1,000 a week. You know, you're really only making like 500 a week, and they want you to do an hour. Most people that do the hour, including myself, were not ready for that fucking hour. And, you know, it is a two-man show. And it's an hour and a half. So the opener goes cold and does a half an hour. And then the headliner does an hour. And it's brawling, dude.
These people are not ready for comedy, huh? The audience?
Not always. Like, there was, we did one gig where there was a guy that won the lottery in the town. And he was in the bar. And he was being a total asshole to the comedians. But the bartender wouldn't kick him out because he won the lottery. And everybody was trying to get a piece of it.
Oh, my God. A fucked up situation right there.
So he was like mayor of this town all of a sudden just because he won the lottery.
Damn.
He could do whatever he wanted. God.
Your show all that like,
oh dude, there was just like country ass shows, dog. Like just straight up, like, you know, rugged ass white people, dog. And that one black dude that hangs out with them like that, dog. Maybe one or two Latinos that spoke no English that were just there working.
This
one
guy asked me if I wanted to go out and do cocaine in his truck.
Exactly.
And that's when I knew I would not be walking out of that truck.
Yeah, you had those old school trucks, dude, with the fucking rifle in the fucking back window and shit.
And I think it was the same guy, like, he's like from a small town, so he didn't know how to come out of the closet. And he's like, hey, let's go measure dicks in the bathroom. I remember something like that. I was just like, no, dude, we're not doing this shit. Dude. We already did the show.
With that slimy ruler.
I'm like, I'll just give it to you. You got a bigger one. Definitely got bigger balls than me.
You know, you grew up as a comedian, man. Have you always dressed with a suit on stage, or did you start with that?
No, I kind of only do that when I think it's kind of appropriate. I definitely do it on TV. Because like,
only when they're appropriate? Like, you did it at the Arizona.
I don't like doing it at like at a bar gig or something.
Not for an open mic, right?
Yeah, and I don't always like doing it. It's kind of, I go on mood. I kind of...
Me too.
I do like wearing a suit. But sometimes I go, these people ain't going to relate to me if I wear a suit. And I don't feel like powering through that hard. So I just go on like what the mood I'm in, what the rest of the shows that week have been like. But I love wearing a suit. I love being like a generic stand-up comedian. I hate to say it, but I love it. There's so much room to grow from that starting point. You walk up there and everyone's like, this fucking square guy. And then you start saying all this weird shit and they're like, oh, all right. You know, I like building from there, you know.
I felt comfortable wearing a suit on things on Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah.
The Valentine's Day show.
Yeah, when people are paying money.
Yeah.
Like, yeah,
the
why
casino,
not?
Casino, right?
You know, the presentation, yeah.
You can't wear dirty tennis shoes like they do in Canada everywhere.
See, you got the hair, so if you wear a suit, no one's going to get the wrong idea about who you are. So you could always wear a suit.
Yeah.
You know.
Or you wear a tux? I remember one time.
You got a bus
fly time. Blue rental.
One time this guy convinced Joe Diaz to wear a suit, man. We were bagging on him.
Was he sweating?
Dude, he was. He was trying to keep it. He was trying to keep it together, but his hands were shaking the keys. So
funny. Well, where was he wearing the suit?
Ice House.
Yeah, because he didn't come back to the Comedy Store. People were bagging on him.
Yeah,
fucking limo driver.
We got to the Comedy Store. When he got back to the Comedy Store, he was wearing a suit, but it was already open. He was wearing tennis shoes with no shoelaces and a hat. And I told him he didn't let the Coca-Cola bear, bro.
He's funny. He's so funny. No,
come over here, messing with me.
He looks good in his headshots with the suit, but I guess that's like a weird thing to do on stage, huh? For him. I guess he wasn't comfortable.
So that's the Tribble run, huh? Anybody who's wondering, man, many comedians who are wondering, man, Dave Tribble's still around.
I think he is. I haven't looked into it in a long time. I don't feel like putting myself through it, but yeah, I think he's still around.
That's crazy runs, huh?
Fuck yeah.
I think dude. It's good for anybody that wants you to start out.
You ever done any similar runs like that, but like in the South?
Nah, I can't.
Or
I
East
can't.
Coast?
I've done some similar like one-nighters maybe in Florida or whatever, but nothing, no tours like that. Uh-uh. I've tried it. I've tried to put together the independent venue thing, and I've done like Louisville and Nashville, but that's hardly like small towns really. Yeah, there's nothing. That's like my kind of worst scenario experience, I think.
So you open for a lot of people?
Yeah. Like always a bridesmaid. Yeah.
I used to work for a lot of people. Yeah. Who'd you open for now?
I opened for Tom Segura a week ago, Christina Bozitsky. I still open for Daniel Tosh sometimes, Bert Kreischer. I think that's about it right now. That's still a lot of people, though.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. There's comics who are dreaming of
those. They're a lot of fun, those gigs.
I used to open up for Russell Peters.
Nice. Those gigs are
Gabriel Iglesias,
huge. Both
George
of those
Lopez,
gigs.
Paul Rodriguez.
Jesus Christ, man.
I was with Gabriel before the gigs were huge.
Yeah, I was with Gabriel before the gigs were huge.
No kidding. Yeah. So, like, what level? Because
I was with him when he was when improv. He was studying out, like.
He was at Felipe's level, yeah. I think, now. Right?
Yeah.
His premium blend was kind of big for a premium blend, right? Yeah. And then he probably started working off of that,
they
or
did
what?
A half hour right after that.
Yeah, I remember it just moved really quickly for him, yeah. And so you would be doing clubs with him?
Yeah, man, opening up, doing 10 minutes, getting paid well.
And then would they be sold out at that point?
Well, he was selling out mostly on the West Coast, but not in Cleveland or Ohio, Columbus. So, we had a lot of sandwiches over there.
I'm always curious about this type of thing. What's the biggest venue you think you've done with these guys?
With
or
those,
with yourself?
Well, with Russell Peters, probably like he did like 14,000 people,
so
and they
people.
Paid $50 to get in.
Yeah, that's so it was many. A hockey arena.
Hockey arena.
You guys were doing all Saskatoon. Hockey arenas up there in Canada.
That's so wild, isn't it? Because it's like such a slow motion set, right?
Yeah, because I'm just they're not there to see me. They didn't even know I'm there.
Exactly.
So and I just go up to do 15, and
it's almost like tennis. You send the joke out, and then you hope something comes back like 2 seconds later.
Was there a delay?
And if it
in
doesn't,
the
oh, big time,
big time,
big
man.
Time delay. Wow. It's like slow motion. You tell the joke, and you're like.
Because they're like waiting.
All right,
you know?
Nothing on that one.
Like,
let's start.
No, it's like the two DJ were just mixing, playing hip hop. Ladies and gentlemen, Russell Peters' favorite comedian, Felipe Esparza.
Uh-huh.
That's it. And I go up there. What's up, everybody?
Right.
I'm the favorite comedian.
Yeah, I got to the point.
I like drugs.
I like drugs. I got to the point where I'd tell like Tasha's tour manager, be like, make sure you tell him there's two openers. There's going to be openers. Mention openers a lot. Like, I don't want to be walking out there and they don't know there's openers.
Who doesn't know there's an opener?
People don't know. They find out about comedy in weird ways. Yeah. Yes. They're not like comedy fans. They're like this guy's fan.
Or, yeah, especially when they never went out to concerts or big shows before. You know what I mean? You don't know anything about the opening act. It's just all about the CD you bought or the DVD.
And at that point, you're at a music venue, but it's so much different than a music show, you know?
Oh, fuck
people
yeah,
do like talk through a music openers thing. Yeah. They're not interested in it or anything. I opened for that guy, Brandon Flowers, the lead singer of The Killers.
Oh, really? On a solo show?
That
really?
Was fucking horrific, man.
Really, dog?
Well, yeah, there were people just fighting and yelling and screaming at me, dude. People. It was terrible.
They didn't want to hear any
no,
comedy.
Fuck no, fuck no. They were booing the intro, man.
Oh, shut up, dog.
And I actually brought somebody to do the intro because I know there wouldn't be an MC. I brought somebody to introduce me, you know, and he was like, he's been on Comedy Central. You could hear it go, what? Yeah, and the crowd, what? What? And, you know, they're just screaming and yelling, like, by the time I got up there. It was terrible. It was one of those ones where, like, all right, I'm only doing about 15 minutes. Fuck these people. And then after I did 15, I'm like, fuck these people. I'm doing everything I got.
How much were you scheduled for? How long?
It was loose. It was a loose scheduling.
Okay.
I just figured about 15 because that's what I wanted to do, you know? And then I got that second wind when I crossed the finish line.
But I don't think people these days are ready for comedy and music mixed together anymore. In the past, they did, you know, James Brown would have a comedian
George Carlin,
before him,
Bobby
you know.
Slayton even.
Yeah, like they, these musicians. Oh, yeah. But now people... Now if people believe the singer
is thinks and acts a certain way, like the way he acts, that's the way they believe he acts. Then you have a comedian. Just say, for example, man, you have Bobby Slayton opening up, and if people are not used to somebody being so hardcore, right, they're gonna fucking complain. You should get rid of him.
Right.
Drop him immediately.
True. Because music
is so sexist.
Yeah.
We came here to, we thought this place was going to be a safe place.
Peace and love.
For
peace
us
and
to
love.
Be love. And he's talking about Asians. My wife is Asian.
Right.
And had to sit through the house show.
The house show. Now you sound like Justin.
They don't
expect. The
this should be 75 minutes.
Fuck you, man.
Yeah, fuck you, man. But they're not expecting that shit, bro. Like, they didn't You're expect right. that shit at Tropicália, bro.
Tropicália was a mess because they didn't think about that.
What
there
was that?
Like 17,000 people?
It was a music fest that he hosted. Didn't even host.
I didn't host.
They cut down his time to
They
host
cut down
the
my
last...
time from 30 to 10.
Okay.
And then it was just like.
And it was one of those gigs where, wow, they're paying me a lot to do nothing here.
Yeah.
Right.
It's going to be tough. I know it is.
Right. And the audience. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the audience, it's like 5,000-6,000 people all the way back.
Millennials,
right?
Older people. And,
free outdoor
tacos
concert.
The whole night.
Yeah, outdoor concert, free tacos. And it was a great show, but the way it was organized was really bad. And then, so Felipe goes out for like 10 minutes here or 5 minutes here.
Doing my normal bits.
Doing
from
normal, older bits, yeah. And then people, there are not a whole lot, but a few social justice warriors.
Mm-hmm.
We thought this was like a safe place for people who are... you know, non-conforming and non...
Really?
You know, all
that's
whatever.
Safe place. There's a guy next to you smoking a joint.
This is what...
Right. Fuck out of here.
This safe place bullshit. You know, they're bringing up all these... All the words triggered and all this stuff. Yeah. Fat shaming. He was fat shaming because he did a fat joke, but the fat joke was about himself.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's not about you.
Fat shaming,
they just hear fat, and he was having sex with a woman, and she was a big girl, you know? So that's fat shaming. Like, you talk about being fat a lot.
It's called practice, ladies.
Yeah. It's but these women, I mean, seriously, literally a handful of, like,
oh
six
my
people.
God.
There's, yeah. But they thought everybody else felt the same way. But you had a lot of fans there, too. But.
There's key words in, like, subjects that people will lose their minds over. If you actually listen to the comic who's found a way to make it work in front of many different audiences, mm-hmm. if you really look at it, you didn't say anything offensive.
Yeah.
Oh,
but people
yeah.
get pissed like when they just hear the one word
oh, yeah.
or whatever.
Just harp on that shit.
Yeah.
And also if you get offended, who gives a fuck? It's just your feelings.
I know.
You're gonna have more feelings in 3 seconds.
And there it's ridiculous because he had jokes about, you know, how in the Latino community and black community too, they do it. There's, you know, kind of this sort of status arguments of status
yeah.
about skin color, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're darker Mexican, they'll make fun of you. You know, if you're darker black, they will. He's not making a joke about somebody who's darker.
It's not his policy.
He's pointing it out. He's
pointing it out the way
how
they
it
think.
Happens, yeah. the way they think. And right. then he's like, oh, he's anti-black. He's
yeah.
anti-native.
It's
he's
always
anti-
white people that get pissed at
it
that,
is.
Right?
It's the people who think that these people are being offended.
I'm offended on behalf of other people.
Yes.
That's
exactly what it is.
Yeah, man.
Somebody needs a time machine. Shit.
What's up, Fuso? What was your first TV credit, man?
First TV credit was Craig Ferguson in November of 2005. I was fucking gassed, man. I was so fucking happy to do it. So, because I started in 98, I was dying for that legitimacy.
Yeah, man.
You know, and it felt so good to get it. Really did. What can I tell you? And then I immediately did like Last Comic Standing and Live at Gotham. In early 2006.
What
and it
season?
Was like season 4. And so I was like, all of a sudden I had these 3 TV credits and I felt like I was just in the game.
Did
it was
you move
fucking
up
great.
In season 4?
No, I made it to like the top 40. You know, it's the second episode. You know, it was cool. It was cool. I really enjoyed all that shit.
When you did Craig Ferguson, did you have an actual legitimate headlining gig to promote on it?
No, I was promoting an MC gig. I'll be at the punchline next week.
That's funny.
But the headline is not on TV, but I am.
I know.
That's about right, yeah.
People show up, though?
Yeah.
Good shit, kid.
I don't know. I don't think so. That shit was on at 1:30 in the morning, and it was before they reposted stuff on the internet.
Oh, that's right. So
you know,
you
I went back
it,
to...
It was done.
I went back to work the next day.
You
know?
Yo, man, you were so funny. I wanted to go to the show, but I work security.
Yeah, exactly. So I went to work and no one knew I did the fucking thing. It was like 8 Mile. You know when he wins the rap battle? Yeah. He's like, I got to go back to the factory, dog.
You didn't even get a chance to walk through the mall?
Nah.
Didn't get praises?
Nah.
Wasn't Tommy Jonigan saying that? Like he had been on Letterman so many times, but it didn't result in any sort of bump up
yeah.
for the
people
were
not
audience.
Watching TV no more.
They just right, stopped watching right. late night at that point.
And they were not repeating it.
And that was the time when I found out that your 20-year-old daughter didn't know who Letterman or Leno was.
Right.
And I was like,
they're
oh,
not
shit.
In these talk shows.
Oh, no.
And now they've split it up and put it online, and that's the only way they've been successful. Jimmy mm-hmm. Kimmel.
And play like games and shit.
Yeah, games.
Karaoke. You gotta play basketball karaoke. With Vince Vaughn
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah.
You gotta have a apple eating concert, man, with Shaq.
What was your first TV thing?
My first TV credit was in 96. I was
wow.
the Latino Laugh Festival.
Nice, man.
Was on Showtime, and they aired it, and I got to meet Greg Giraldo.
Oh, wow, dude.
John Mendoza.
Nice.
Paul Rodriguez, Cheech.
Damn.
Gene Pompa, Darren Carter, Johnny Sanchez.
This is the first year you started.
Yeah, man.
That's fucking
great,
man.
I was doing comedy like 8 months.
Yeah. Wow.
I was doing that at open mic, going up like, man, like, I was going up a lot.
Mm-hmm. No, you have to when you first start.
I was going up a lot. I got people like rest, but no, man.
No.
Every 7 nights a week, sometimes me and Gabriel Iglesias will compete to who does more shows.
Right.
Like, I'll do this show, then I'll try to run and do another show just to outdo him.
Dude.
I would do, like, I think the most I ever did was like 12, 15.
Yeah. I would get
he
up.
He got me because that fool did a fucking corporate gig at 3 p.m.
Son of a bitch.
Just fucking piece of
cheated.
Shit. So I went over there. I drove over there to the second show yeah. to get a guest spot.
Yeah, just to keep it even.
And the guy still gave me $100.
Nice, man. Yeah, I remember looking at the LA Weekly and just like sorting it out. Like,
that
where
LA
am I
Weekly,
go
man.
To work
that was
during
my,
the
that was
day?
My agent, that was my booking agent.
Yeah, exactly.
That and a Learning Tree.
Exactly, man. Yeah. And just work during the day and then go there. I'd be exhausted, man.
So there were a lot of little comedy shows that didn't pay shit, though, but they were there, huh?
Tons. Yeah. All over the city.
There was one. I think there was one. The one I started at midnight was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But there was also, like, you could just map it out. Okay, I'm going to go do this piece of shit room over here.
Yeah.
And then that shit started at 7.
Mm-hmm.
I already made friends with a guy. I gave him a joint.
Yeah. You were smarter than me. I just sit there till 10.
There was a guy that got pissed off at me and Gabriel on the first night of the open mic that we went there
yeah.
at Smokey Joe's.
Okay, I remember this one.
Smokey Joe's.
A barbecue place, right?
Yeah.
And so you...
The host, me and Gabriel, we started laughing at people not laughing.
Yeah, right.
And he knew that we were laughing
yes.
at him.
Yeah.
So he got pissed. You guys are banned forever.
Is your first...
He banned me. He banned Gabriel. And he banned... This cool comedian, bro, Richard Miller, he used
yeah.
to put in a Bill Clinton hat.
Right. Well, so, like, this
he
guy.
He hang around with TK, Rich something.
So this guy's like King Midas, is whoever he bans
yes.
like, gets successful.
He does, man. He was mad. I remember he was mad. Because Gabriel went up there and goes, man, you see the host coming here with the whack-ass jokes? What the dude? He was
why did he get mad?
He was killing. Gabriel was killing, making
of
fun
course.
Of that dude.
Yeah, it's so awesome, dude. I love that.
It was Rich something, bro. He was a white dude. He just hang around with TK. He had to put on a Bill Clinton wig.
Yeah, I know this guy. It's Rich Williams.
Rich Williams.
Yeah. He did a joke about somebody with a baby arm or something.
Yeah.
He was a funny guy. I haven't seen him around lately.
He was hilarious. Bro. You remember him?
He has orange hair, huh?
Kind of, sort of. Yeah, he looks a lot like Bill Clinton.
He used to put on Bill Clinton.
Yeah,
he killed I used to book him at Wild Coyote all
yeah,
the time.
Coco, he did, when Joey Diaz was doing the Bray Improv on those Thursdays, on those Wednesdays, he did a show. For about last time I seen him was like 5 years ago.
There's also a guy named Brian Burke that ran with that crew. I don't know if you remember him. And he was a Jewish guy that would do all these awful like Holocaust jokes and shit.
Brian Burke. I think I know Brian Burke.
Big afro.
Curly fucking hair,
he ended
right?
up directing a movie called, yeah, he ended up in
curly
glasses.
Fucking hair.
He was
hair.
One of the first guys to wear the nerdy glasses and pull them off. And he directed a movie called, like, you know that movie Being John Malkovich?
Yeah.
He did Being Ron Jeremy. It used to be
yeah,
in my
I remember
video
that movie.
Yeah. So you see everything through Ron Jeremy's eyes.
I remember that dude. Yeah. I confused that guy with another Jewish guy who looks Jewish,
uh-huh.
Sam Bowie.
I don't know if I remember
or Sam
him.
Brown.
I do remember Sam Brown.
Sam Brown,
he
yeah.
He was all part of that crew.
Yeah, curly hair
yeah.
fool, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think he went to Montreal, didn't do well.
Oh, sure. Well, that happens. And Chris Williams, who was Vanessa Williams' brother. They would bring these bringer shows, and they'd still have to put up 5 fucking guys. So these shows were like 2 hours long.
God damn.
Some of these guys I started open mic with, They were doing it way before me.
Mm-hmm.
And I still, every once in a while, man, I go look up that comedy spot, the open mic, and that motherfucker's in his 50s, still doing the open mic, bro.
Yeah, that's
like forever, bro. Yeah. Like, I don't understand. Like, and then when I started off, I used to I won't get advice from these guys, but I'll talk to them because they'll tell me, I started out with George Lopez, you know, or stuff like that.
Right.
Like, there used to be this guy, man, that I used to roll with because he was real cool, but he passed away. His name was, forgot his name. But he had a funny joke. His funny joke was, he goes, yeah, man, they're bringing back the Family Feud. No, they're bringing back the dating game.
Yeah.
So they're going to start bringing back, so they're going to, of course, you know, they're going to start selling the fucking, they're going to start selling the fucking Parker Brothers, the dating game, home game. He goes, he had a whole bit about the dating game, home. So who do you win, contestant number five? Grandma.
You know what?
The dating game.
Oh, this
the
woman.
Way you're describing it, I'm sure that used to be his bit when the dating game was still in the air, and then the dating game is coming back, and now he's doing the bit again.
Yes.
I was on the dating game when I first moved here.
Yeah?
In like 97.
So was with Woolery?
So was Rich,
with Chuck
bro.
Woolery.
Really?
So was Rich, as a matter of fact.
And this girl is really beautiful. She was so beautiful, the sound guy was yelling at the guy that won. He was taking his mic off. He's like, you don't know what the fuck to do with that girl, you piece of fucking shit.
God,
he's
damn,
so
dude.
Fucking pissed.
Damn.
And then I saw her at a party.
That's who saw Mallrats. Yeah.
Exactly. This guy looks like a date rapist. That's a badass movie, dog.
And so then I see her at a party in my apartment complex. This girl, and I walk up to her. I'm like, were you in the dating game this week? She's like, yeah, because she thinks she's a serious actress. She's like, yeah.
25
and I'm
years.
Like, do you recognize me? And she goes, no. I go, I'm bachelor number two.
Like, how often do you say that?
And I think Jason Lee was bachelor number two in Mallrats. So
yeah.
There you go, man.
Fuck yeah.
That's the position to be in.
Yeah, man. Back then, dude, I will take any TV credit, bro.
Oh, yeah.
I was on a fucking...
When you were wearing glasses, what was...
Yeah, I was on a show. I don't know.
It's to tell the truth, right?
To tell the truth. I won $1,200, but I was another show where I don't know if it's.
When I first met you, you showed me the video.
It was like the Gong Show, the new Gong Show.
Yeah.
I was on the new Gong Show.
Yeah.
And there was a guy that used to book a room in Whittier named Kenny, and he was there too. And they go, "What the fuck, like, bro? You used to run that show in Whittier, right? The open mic, yeah." You, Gabriel, Jeff Garcia, and Willie, and you come over there. Yeah. What are you doing here? Oh, bro, fuck that. I found out about the Gong Show. And I said, fuck it, eh? What are you going to do? I'm going to do comedy, bro.
Right.
What are you going to do? He goes, bro, I'm a Bob for lobsters. And he was serious, bro. He put a fucking fish tank.
Really?
He brought like five real lobsters, and he was going to pick them up with his mouth.
And he'd never done this before?
Never, bro.
Jesus.
How's he
going to
get one in there, dog? Is he slippery?
Yeah, man. It was fucking Kenny, bro. He used to do comedy. No, he used to run comedy. That's it. But he always was into that shit.
That's one bit that would never get gone because you're just waiting for the guy to get bit.
Dude, he was
that's in, genius.
He was in there, bro, like... I did that
dude.
Show. I did another. I even auditioned, bro, for Ben Stein's Money.
Oh yeah,
I love
that was a popular show. That was a fun show.
They give you a
it was easy. I could have got you on.
That was my dream.
I could have threw a hook.
I was living in New York at the time, but
it was like KTLA, and they were always casting.
When
but
Jimmy Kimmel was the
they give you a
right,
test.
Right.
You got to take a big test, a written test.
I would ace,
and I fucking failed that shit.
Oh, nice. I was feeding you the answer.
I was the first guy. I got up and I finished, bro. And I'm gonna go to the restroom. Never came back.
Got out of there with dignity. Huh?
That test was hard, bro.
This whole said test.
I said,
it kind of was, right? They want to make sure you can like win his money
I
at some point.
The answer were the question were easy on TV, bro.
Yeah,
but this was this real shit. Like, what's the pie graph of this?
Uh-huh.
I don't like pie.
We'll call up the guy from the American Comedy Club.
Apple.
Did you ever do the Ding Dong Show?
The Ding Dong Show. That's, no, but I've watched it. Yeah.
Don Barris, crazy show.
Were you
huh?
ever on that show?
Never, man.
For those that don't know, it's this weird show. Sometimes there's not even an audience.
Yeah. No.
There's all these, I want to say, and I don't mean to make fun of anybody, but a lot of them are like mentally ill, kind of.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of wrangling them around and kind of berating them and yelling at them and trying to get them to perform. And it happens every fucking week. It's the weirdest thing. It's one of those things, the more you watch it, the funnier it gets.
It starts off with them doing stand-up comedy one by one, and then they all go up on stage, and they all do their act at the same time.
Yeah, it's nutty,
fucking bizarre,
crazy, experimental, weird shit. And he tries to get them to like do auditions and stuff, or little acting scenes and stuff. It's the craziest thing. And then he always gets mad. He's never happy with the performance. Always just yells at them. You know, it's kind of nutty.
Yeah, man.
Kind of fucked up. Yeah, but I do enjoy it.
What was the craziest TV show you did? Like, you were casted, and you were what the fuck?
I did one of these Byron Allen shows. It was a stand-up show. I think so many people in town did
Not the one they do when you're sitting down, right?
No, that's Comics Unleashed. I
did Comedy.tv?
Comedy.tv. So I go up, and I'm doing
stand-up. No host, huh?
No, there was a host, but what was weird about it is... It was clearly like a paid Hollywood audience.
Oh, I hate totally. Yes. And I went on at the bus.
Yeah, and I went on at the end of the day, and they're like really tired, and it's not even full, and I can see like these kids like
they want to eat.
I'm doing my fucking comedy, and they're actually like going, "Hey, this guy fucking sucks, right?" They're like pointing and like this stuff. I mean, I'm filling in what they were saying, but still, they're pointing and talking about me. And then one guy, well, let's just say I was like, "Hey," I go, "Hey, wake this guy up. I want him to hear the rest of this joke." This guy's fucking asleep right in the audience.
Damn.
And all the cameras came and like looked at him and stuff. I think that was probably, well, let's face it, Last Comic Standing is the weirdest fucking show to do. Because you just don't know what's going on. Those cameras are on you.
Did you have an open audition? You stood in line.
I did an open audition. And it was weird too. I did like 8 or 9 auditions that day. Acting auditions. So by the time I got to the Last Comic Standing one, I was relaxed as shit.
Who passed you?
The guys, the Tonight Show guys.
Okay,
the
those angry guys.
Yeah.
Those Bob and...
Bob and Bob, I call
Bob and Bob.
I don't know what they're called. But
Ross and Bob.
Ross and Bob,
yeah.
Yes.
And it. they passed me. It was great. Because I've auditioned for that quite a few times. And were it's usually all, humiliating.
Were they all open auditions or did you just sleep over?
No, I had an appointment. Yeah.
Did you ever audition, or did you?
Well, that one time we stood in line, dude.
Did you go up there?
Yeah.
What was that like?
It was all right. It was kind of weird. They passed me to the second round, and that was it, dude. After that, I was like, get the fuck out of here.
The weirdest part is just walking through the doors and up to the mic with no applause and two people just sitting there.
Yeah.
That, and then like,
because it's a long walk.
And going up there, already like listening to what happened to the guys that went up before you.
They're talking. They're like talking. They're not paying attention. I was just played to the crew that was somewhere else.
Right,
I tried to get their attention.
Yeah.
And I went out for the first year. And that was when they did it in the Tonight Show studio. And you had to walk for like 2 minutes to get to the stage.
Damn.
Wow.
I did the shit. They told me to go home. Some producer comes running after me because the room's that big. And she's like, I liked you. Let me see if I can get you back on. They told me they'd get me back on. But the first season, no one really knew what it was. So I got passed. But the first season, no one knew what it was. So my lawyer was like, this is a fucking horrible contract. Like,
his
don't
lawyer,
sign
bro.
It.
Who the lawyer?
I haven't talked to him in a long time. I can't think of his name.
What made you decide?
I call him whenever I do something.
What made you decide to get a lawyer at that time?
I had management with that. They said you should get this lawyer. His name's Jay Cooper. His name's Jay Cooper. Yeah. So, and we were also, that is kind of tricky. They were like, I was like pitching a sitcom at the time with that management group. So you were probably right about that. They probably want a lawyer that was their friend and not my friend. So yeah, that's probably right.
Yeah, we got this comedy book for sale for $200.
Everybody gets a little piece.
Mm-hmm.
What's up, for you? You got shows coming up or what? What's going on?
Get ready to pump for this weekend.
How about your Yeah Man podcast?
I got a new episode up. Check it out. Episode 35. Yeah, man.
What happened to the one you did in the airplane, bro?
It's up there.
The sound?
Yeah, it's cool.
I don't even know what I said, bro. In and out, bro.
Yeah, well, you were working on that script that you were fucking with. Had an audition on Monday.
So you guys were on a plane and you did one?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can hear the
yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Turn on the laptop, sir. Turn on the laptop, doing a podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that sounds good, though.
You would get
it sounds cool.
Do you ever get, like, ambushed at every show for be on my podcast?
Yeah, you know, a lot of times you're coming into town.
Dean
and
Del Rey, bro. Give me some Dean Del Rey.
Hey, man, I know you sat down with Metallica one time. Tell me what James said, man.
I don't know. He knows everybody, right?
I did that one time where, like, a local comic was like, hey, come do my podcast. And I went there, and the place was a mess. And I sat next to a trash can with, like, there was, like, a used condom in the trash can.
I hate that.
And this, and they, like, one of the kids, like, said the N-word at one point. I'm like, what am I doing on this
God,
fucking show,
dude.
You know?
It's not like Joy Perez.
That's the last time I did it, yeah.
Well, you want a George Perez story?
That's a little weird too. I mean, because I know there's a lot of
clean the house.
There's a lot of fans that you know because you know podcasting has given way to a lot of fans that want to become podcasters and stuff. But it's really like fucking. They're not in the same. It's almost like open mic podcasting, dude.
Yeah man. You don't ever want to go into anyone's house anyway. Yeah, man. I mean, that's a dumb thing to do. I shouldn't have done it.
Right.
I'll do anybody podcast, but everybody inside gonna be wearing shoes.
It'll be a drum circle. You cool with that?
Yeah, it gets a little odd, dude.
Yeah.
What's up, fool, man?
What's up, dog?
So you 98, huh?
Yeah.
Have you been back to Maryland?
Yeah, I was just there in January.
Mr. Hollywood going
back? Yeah, big time. Big time guy.
Do they look at you like that? Because even though I'm from L.A.,
right.
If I would have quit or quit, I don't got that much far to go.
Right.
I think nobody in my neighborhood would notice I even did stand-up.
Yeah.
Because nobody knows that I didn't leave anywhere.
Right.
But it must be, like, tough for you to go back, Mr. Hollywood, huh?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to. If I quit comedy, I don't think I'd go back to town because...
But when you go back as... Now, I'm just saying, if you go back now as a Matt Voltron comedian, do they look at you like and try to suggest shows you should be on?
I don't think that... Yeah, they do all that rookie shit. One time I went to... My parents live in the fucking woods. They really do. It's like you can't see another neighbor's house. They have like three neighbors. I'm from a really small town. And I went down to get the mail from my parents, and one neighbor's walking by, and he's like, I was like, hey, how you doing? He's like, I'm so-and-so. I'm like, I'm Matt. And he's like, you Matt? He's like trying to look at me because obviously he's seen me on my little TV clips trying to make sure I'm the same guy. And he goes, yeah, I really don't get what you do, man. It must be your age or something. I don't think you're funny at all. And I was like, oh, okay, man, thanks a lot. And I just like walked back up the driveway, heckled in the woods, I called it. You know, like, and it's that type of thing. That's the worst of it. But then there's also like, do you know so-and-so? I think it's really funny that when people find out you're a comedian, they want to know who your favorite comedian is. It's like, it's kind of a weird, it's not the weirdest question in the world, but now you're talking, they think you're a comedy fan. Let's put it that way. And like, you don't even want to think about comedy when you're.
Who do you listen to?
Yeah, yeah.
People tell me that after the show. Who you listen to? Nobody, man.
Right. I'm sick of it.
I don't want to listen to nobody. I don't want to get influenced by anything Chris Rock says.
Exactly.
I don't want to get influenced by Dave Chappelle. If somebody tells me their joke, I'm going to laugh.
Right.
And that's good enough for me.
Right.
Like the other night, somebody told me a Gerald Carmichael tweet or a joke he did at the Laugh Factory.
Mm-hmm.
Died for 3 days.
That's funny.
And that's good enough for me. I know where he's going. You know, I don't want to get influenced. You know, I don't want to go their route.
Right,
oh, dude. It's hilarious.
Yeah, you're one of the first comics I ever met who wasn't interested in watching anybody else's set.
You watch like a minute at a time.
I'm like Charles.
That's what I do.
I'm like Charles Bukowski, bro.
Well, yeah.
When in that book, when they told him that Allen Greensburg was over there,
no, it was Jack William S. Burroughs. I said, William S. Burroughs is in the same hotel, like down the hall. Do you want to meet him? He said, no.
I'm good.
Right. Yeah, he's great.
man. Deep Davis is over there, man. I know he's headlining the theater. I'm doing small clubs.
Yeah.
He don't want me to go over there and make it uncomfortable.
Right.
I know if someone, a friend of mine is headlining a big-ass theater or the Taj Mahal, and I'm doing a small room, even though it's 350, it could be sold out.
Yeah.
Me going over there is going to be uncomfortable for him.
Right.
Because it's like the guy from The Village showed up.
Right. Yeah.
Even though I don't want anything in his head, by seeing so many comedians asking for stuff, it's going to look like I want something.
Right.
Even though I want a guest spot. Come on. Do people, like when you headline, you still get like around 7 open mics from the hometown trying to open?
Yeah, especially if that's like the format of the show. Like usually but there's this one club I do where the first night is just all amateurs. And this club owner is such an asshole, man. He comes out and yells at the amateurs when they're on stage. Like he's like from like Lebanon or something. And he's just like, don't do material about the news. Fucking get to the relationship stuff. He's like yelling at him and stuff from the stage.
The comedy, not the...
Yeah, you see some of that. I don't know. I think the openers I have are usually somewhat good.
That's not like that club in San Diego, the Comedy Something, the Comedy Palace.
Oh, dude, I've never done that place.
I've done that.
Dude, the first time I went to the Comedy Palace, shout out to the owners. I forgot their names, but they're real nice people.
Yeah.
They fed me so good.
Oh, yeah.
I never ate gyro or giro in my life.
Yeah.
In my life, bro. He goes, try it, my friend. Try it, very good. What is it, lamb? Is it good? Try it. So, bro, I made the fattest pita sandwich, bro, with gyro, meat, and that yogurt sauce.
Yeah.
And I fucking ate two of them. I took one to go. I burped that shit for 4 hours. And the fly was driving. He goes, yo, dog, can you open the window, man? You smell like the owner.
Player can't be smelling like
that. Dude, but it was so good. But yeah. You know how it is, bro. When you grew up not eating a certain type of food, mm-hmm. but then you eat it for the first time, you're going to fucking eat it till you die.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first time I had Chinese food, I ate that shit till I couldn't fucking want to see another Chinese person.
That or pizza.
No, I grew up strictly meat and potatoes. And then one by one, you learn about all the other good food.
Fuck yeah.
Man, like the first time you were like, you realize, fuck it, what? Calzone?
Exactly. Like, I wouldn't even get crazy on Italian food. Like, I just had some regular bland-ass shit growing up.
He said bland, dude.
No salt or nothing.
Oh, my God, dude.
But then, you know, you move to the city.
So
you start to experience some shit.
What type of food your mom was making growing up?
Dude, I'm just talking about, like, vegetables and just regular meat. Just regular white people fucking home on the prairie shit. Potatoes, vegetables, and meat.
And
salad.
A slice of bread and a corn.
Yeah.
Sweet corn with no butter.
Not so much cornbread, but like, all that.
Like a little dinner roll.
Yes. Now you're talking.
That's why you killed me with that bland stuff, dude.
Yeah. Dude, my mom.
They're healthy as shit, but.
We had, like, a lot of people in our house, so we had to just do what we can. And one thing my mom would do, bro, is mix and match, bro. Like corn, like she would buy like the 10 pounds of meat for the whole week.
Yeah.
Not one hamburger was made from that shit.
Right.
Not one fucking meatball. She would just put all the ground beef together with a bunch of vegetables, bro.
Uh-huh.
And then that was our meal with rice.
Uh-huh.
That was
That's
it.
Not bad, right?
Yeah, but I wonder what you have, bro. I wanted a hamburger, bro.
He wanted
what you had. Bro,
if we were friends, I would have went to your house and listen, man.
We had guys like
my
that.
My mom is making mole for the 7th time this month. I would gladly trade the whole dish for those tater tots.
Mom, can Felipe come over?
For tater tots.
Those tater tots with gravy, please. We never had tater tots growing up, bro.
First time I had tater tots was at school.
That's school stuff,
man. Yeah.
Man. They teach you how to write.
I don't know if I was.
And eat shitty fruit.
I was so not into my mom's cooking that I would get to school early, bro, just to eat their food.
Yeah.
Like to love the fucking coffee cake, bro.
Yeah.
Coffee cake was my shit.
Yeah.
Coffee cake. And then those are so. You grew up on school lunches?
Yeah.
Or you brought your own lunch?
Mix and match, man. Sometimes brought, sometimes bought. What's up?
You the oldest or the oldest in your family?
Yeah. I got a younger brother, 2 years younger than me.
Did he do try to be comedy too or anything like that?
No.
Isn't it strange though, like nobody in my family was ever an entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
I could go back to all my family members. Not one of them.
Me neither.
Sang a song. Maybe in the bathroom.
Yeah.
But you could tell like they picked up instruments without even trying, and they played well. Like, my dad would just pretend to play the guitar or put up an accordion and sing with his friends, but he sucked. What's up, fool? Where can people find you and reach you at?
I'm thefullcharge.com, @thefullcharge on Twitter and Instagram, and the Full Charge Power Hour podcast on all things comedy.
Rodrigo.
Yeah, man. Check me out, Rodrigo Torres Jr. Full thing on Twitter.
Lisa, my house, what?
Can't find me anywhere.
What's up, fool?
Unfindable.
Shout out to everybody out there, man. This Friday, if you're listening, I'm going to be in Las Vegas, man, at the Treasure Island at 8 o'clock with Larry Bubbles Brown. Mer. Nice. You know him?
Yeah.
You know Chuck Bartel?
I don't think so.
Okay, he's funny too.
All the white guy comics.
Yeah, from Minnesota. What's up, fool? Thank you for listening, man. And check out the bonus track that's coming out this Saturday morning with Cap G. Or might come out coming out today.
It's coming out today. We're gonna have a bonus.
We have a
content,
bonus track,
bonus content with Cap G, an interview we did yesterday.
Yeah, man. What's up? Thank you, guys. What's up?